Christ is my Savior. And I'm not be able to do this on my own. I can't. I don't have the courage to do this on my own or the knowledge to do this on my own. So God strengthens me. And I pray to him every day. And I pray to the Lord, says, give me strength and give me knowledge so I can help other people. So I help other people come to the Lord himself. So like I said, I learned a lot through him. And through Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I come to you this morning, just give you much thanks and for us being here and bring people here to church on this snowy day. And I just pray that give me the strength and knowledge and wisdom today so I can bring the message, and give me the clarity and have the people touch their hearts and have an open mind and receive the word I'm going to give them today. And pray for the people that couldn't be here and has been traveling, and pray for the people around their country that don't know the Lord. And I pray for there's a lot of people that doesn't know him, and so I just pray for them. And also pray for the people in California and the wildfires and what they're going through, Father, and just be with them. So, Father, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And this morning I was, yesterday, Gary Evans and I was here and is watching Abby practice. Practice for singing today. Boy, that was a really good song today, wasn't it, people? It was a blessing just to hear her sing. And I can't believe how fast these kids are growing up. They're really growing up. And just a short time, a few years I've been here, I've seen the kids really have grown. And I was telling Jessica yesterday, just be appreciative of what they're doing and savor the moment. Because the kids grow so fast, and pretty soon they're going to be growing up, and you'll be a grandmother. Grandfather, it's just that fast. It really is. So I really appreciate Abby singing today, and she was really good, and it was really a blessing. Really a blessing to me. So a lot of people, Pastor Ingham says, I've been studying about revival. I've been studying for quite a while. And then the last message I give is about revival in Wales, how affected that part of our world over there in Wales. But most people don't know, it actually started right here in United States. It's called America's Greatest Awakening. And let me take you back to 1857. And during 1857, America was really under stress. People out of work. There was depression. Banks were closing. Factories shutting down. Railroads was falling bankruptcy. It was a bad need for things here in America at that time. And churches were empty. It was people who quit going to church. So the North Dust Church in New York City, they decided they wanted to try to fill the church and have people come. So they hired a man. He was a young man. He's a businessman. He wasn't a pastor. When the deacon was a businessman with a lot of zeal to him, a lot of get up and go. And so on July 1st, 1857, they hired a man of Jeremiah Lamphere. And when I studied that, I came across his name, Lamphere. I thought, man, I don't hear that name very often. But I knew this name growing up. The reason I knew this man growing up, because my mother, her maiden name was a Lamphere. So Jeremiah Lamphere, his name was spelled L-A-N-P-H-I-E-R. And my family was L-A-M-P-H-I-E-R, just N and M. So I looked up the name Lamphere, and they changed, they had both spellings in there. So he came probably from the same family growing up. So I was really surprised about that. It was a blessing to me to hear about that because it's part of my family. And I realized that we might have been kinfolk. I said kinfolk for Pastor Ingram here because that's kind of Tennessean talk, you know, kinfolk. But up here in Ohio, we probably would say we've probably been related. So I put that in for our Southern people, kinfolk. So it could be kinfolk. We could have been. I don't know, but it was a blessing to me to hear about Jeremiah Lamphere. And so, but he started, he became a city missionary on July 1st, 1857. So he wanted to know how he's going to grow the church. So what he did, he thought of, he's going to have a prayer meeting. So in September 23rd, 1857, was his first prayer meeting. He had it on Wednesday morning, was noon. He's going to have it from noon to 1 o'clock. And trying for people to come. So what he did, he went, since he's a businessman, he had flyers he passed around throughout the town of New York, the city of New York, and trying to get business people to come. Because that's who he knew. So trying to get people to come at September 23rd and at noon time. So he was sitting there by himself. No one showed up. 10 after 12, no one came. 25 after 12, nobody there yet, just by himself. 12:30, he heard a door open. And finally, heard somebody walk in. Then another. Then another. Then after about almost 1 o'clock, he had six people show up for prayer meeting. Six people showed up. Then a week later, they had 40 people to show up for prayer meeting. At that time, they decided they needed to have prayer meeting every day. So every day they had prayer meeting from 12 to 1. And so within 6 months, they had 10,000 people showing up for prayer meeting throughout New York City. Boy, ain't that amazing? 10,000 people a day come up to New York City praying. And so the Lord blessed them. And within 2 years, they had over 1 million conversions to American churches. In 2 years' time, they had 1 million people come to Christ. And it happened not just in New York City. That's where it started. It started with one man, had a prayer meeting, and six people showed up, and it was America's greatest awakening. And they said you can go from Nebraska to Washington, D.C., and every town you went through was a church full of people praying. And they said some people called the revival was a layman's revival, because it wasn't preachers and pastors leading the prayer meetings. It was business people, everyday farmers, business people, and deacons were leading the prayers. That's what they called it, the layman's revival. That's another word for it I came across. And so it spread out the whole United States. Even it went to Hell's Corner, New Hampshire. And some says Hell's Corner, New Hampshire, was a stronghold of evil. And as it was, they said it was an evil place. But one day, one man did a volley of profanity so outrageous, it shocked everybody in Hell's Corner. They said, "We need prayer meetings." They heard about the prayer meetings going out through the whole United States. And they said that we needed it there. So they got one black slider to courage enough to hold prayer meeting. He tried to, but he broke down. He couldn't do it. So when the next town over, they got a deacon. A deacon came over and they held a prayer meeting. So he came over to Hell's Corner, to the Cathedral of Evil. And God blessed them. During them prayer meetings, they had 400 people come to Christ. 400 out of the Hell's Corners. Even God even touched them. And it was said that even the gates of hell cannot stand up to the prayers of the whole of God. So that's amazing to me. Even what prayers work, even to a place like Hell's Corner. So that's what Americans' greatest revival. And I give you just a little part of it. Just encourage people to go and study more of it, and to read about revival. And it's really interesting study, and there's a lot to it. There's other revivals throughout the whole United States, and you can read about it. So I encourage you to go out and study more about it. Who knows? There might be here and with us right now, might be another Jeremiah Lamphere. We'll study. God might work through somebody else. For me, telling somebody else about revival might inspire you to do that. So. That's But there's a second part to my message. And the second part is repentance. So what I've been studying is that revival is, we can block revival. So why are we not getting it? Now I've been studying repentance can be blocking revival. That's why I've been studying. We need it bad enough, don't we? We sure do, because look what things happen here in the United States. We need revival really bad. I don't think things can get any worse. It can. I'm sure it can. But things happening here, right here in Ohio, we don't even worry of. For example, my granddaughter, she goes here at Northwestern. And one of her friends, her dad's a state patrol. And he's telling some of the things that he's seen while being a state patrol. And one thing really amazed him, and it still hurts him today when you think about it. He pulled a semi-truck over just to check the tires and brakes and lights. And we checked the load of that truck, opened the door up, and there, look, it was a whole truck load full of people, women and children. They had ropes hanging down around their necks. And right here in Ohio, the truck was going through our state. It was human trafficking. And the Lord just led him to that truck. There was just nothing special about the truck. He just pulled over by random. He found that. So I think we need revival, folks, here. And for things happening. And much more worse thinking. I don't know how much worse than that, but I'm sure they are. So we need revival. So I'm finding out revival is essential through repentance. How do you get a swallow there, boy? I'm getting dry like Pastor Ian does. You do dry up a little bit here, don't you? So we need repentance. So I turn to scriptures and find about repentance. If you would, turn to Exodus 32. What I'm going to set up a little bit for you. What this Exodus 32 is about is about when God took children of Israel out of Egypt. He took them up through the Red Sea, as we know. And what they did, when Moses went to the mountain, Mount Sinai, when God wrote the Ten Commandments, he was gone for a while. And the children of Israel, what they did, they made a golden calf. And they worship it while Moses was gone. And this is what it talks about when he was gone, when he made the golden calf. And let me start with verse 7. I'm going to read some of this for you here today. And the Lord said unto Moses, go with down, for the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and worship it, and have sacrificed them unto, and said, these by the gods of old Israel, which have brought thee up of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now there let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make thee of a great nation. And Moses brought the Lord and said, God, and said the Lord, why doth wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to pursue them from the face of the earth? Turn from the fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, the servants who to whom thou swearest by thy own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed, the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have been spoken of, and I will give you your seed, and you shall inherit for all and forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And so the reason I want to read this and set it up for you, what the children of Israel, what they did, they sinned against God, and he's going to consume them off the earth. He's going to do away with them. And Moses conceded for them and says, well, why do that? And he said he didn't want them to do that. So as verse 14, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do on his people. I want to make it perfectly clear, the Lord repented, but not of sin. God is not sinful. God is a caring God. God is not sinful. I want to make people know what that was. What he's saying here is he changed his mind. That's what repentance is, changing your mind. So Moses got the Lord to change his mind about what he's going to do to these people. So changing mind, that's repentance. Changing the way you live, changing what you think about. If you're out of the will of God, change your ways and get in with the will of God. That is repentance. That's part of repentance. There's other parts to it. If you would, turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7. We'll go through from 8 through 11. And this is talking about where Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians where they have sinned. And start with verse 7. Having therefore promised dearly, beloved, let us clean ourselves of all. No, I'm the wrong one. No, I start with 7. Here, start with verse 8 through 11. I'm sorry. 7. Chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll start with verse 8. Verse 8. 7, 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I received that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but ye were sorry to repentance, for ye were made sorry for a godly manner, that ye may receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the self same thing that ye sorried after a godly sort, where carefulness is wrought in you, ye, what clearing of yourselves ye, what audacity ye, what fear ye, what vehement desire ye, what zeal ye, what revenge, and all things have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. What he's saying here, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, for they was sinful, and he was sorry because he even had to write the letter in the first place. He didn't want to, but he had to, so he did. But he was rejoicing and the repentance of what they're sorry for. So they're sorry for what they have done wrong, and they repented. So that's what this verse is talking about. So repentance is changing your mind, going in the different direction of what you're doing, and when repent and be sorry for what you've done. Not for what you get caught, but for what you have done. Be sorry for. That's repentance. And so, and just like the children of Israel, they was sorry for what they done, because God was going to take them out of, take them to the land of Canaan, to the milk and honey. But he wasn't going to go with them. He told Moses, he said, well, I'm not going to do away with them, but I'm not going to go with them. And so they repented what Moses did. This is chapter 33, Exodus 33, I'm talking about now. So what Moses did, so he took a tent. He called it the Tabernacle of the Congregation. He set it out of the camp. And he went out and prayed and talked to the Lord. And the children of Israel seen what he was doing. And so they stood by the tent door of their tents and worshiped. And the Lord seen it. And he seen what they did, and he forgave their sins. He said, okay, so I'll go with them. I'll go with them to Canaan. So they repented. And so they was really sorry for what they did. They hated themselves for it. And they repented for it. So when they heard God wasn't going to go with them to Canaan, they mourned. It was in chapter 33 where they said they mourned because they wouldn't be in God's presence no more. And so they stood by their tent door, and they seen the cloud of pillar came down, seen Moses talking to the Lord, and they stood by the tent door, and they repented, and God heard them. And God says, I'll go with you to the land of Canaan. So that's what repentance is. Repentance is changing your mind, being sorry for what you have done. And turn to Job 42. Job 42:6. So Job 42:6. This is where Job's repented. He tells us how to repent. Wherefore I abhorred myself and repented in the dust and ashes. 42:6. Wherefore I abhorred myself and repented in dust and ashes. Abhorred is what that's saying is he didn't like himself. He despised what he had done, and so he repented. That's what that means. He didn't like himself for what he has done, and so he's sorry for what he has done. And he was repented of his sins. He got down the dust and ashes. He got down on his knees and prayed. So I asked people here, I said, you don't have to answer this, but have we ever really truly repented? Have we really got down on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me what I've done, and truly been sorry for it? There's a difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse is, you just, you know, say, man, what I do that for? I shouldn't have did this. Look what happened to me. Then he didn't think no more of it and went on. And that's all you did. That's remorse. Repentance is a lot more deeper thing in this. Repentance is what the sorrowness what you have done. You're sorry for what you did because you sinned against the Lord. That is repentance. Be sorry for it. The seriousness of what you have done is repentance. Remorse is, okay, man, I should have did that. Boy, I'm stupid for doing that. And guess what? You probably do it again. You probably will. That's remorse. But how many people pray is more remorseful, but not sorry and not really repented? So people have to get on their knees. So I tell people, get on your knees and pray. Because God can't give you the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what revival is. Revival is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you can't receive that if you're full. Just take this glass of water right here. If this glass was a quart full of water, which I've been drinking, I've been quart full now, but if a quart full of water, and if you want to put chocolate milk in this glass, you got to pour the water out before you be filled with chocolate milk. That's the same with us in repentance. You got to get down in the dirt and ashes and repent and pour out what you have in you so that God can fill up with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is repentance. Pour out what we have in you and the things we've done and truly repented And that's what's blocking. That's essential to revival. We're not going to have it unless we do that. So I'm saying maybe that's what we need to be doing here, to repent so we can have revival. We need it badly enough, folks, here. Time is at hand right here. It is. We know the Lord's going to be coming back here soon. We don't know when. He come back right this moment. We'll be gone. We'll raise up in the cloud. And I pray he does. But until then, let's have repentance and pray for